A new report that's 121 pages to be exact just outlined some system issues that require attention. That's an exact quote from an independent evaluation of the State Department of Education special education system. And this report was done by WestEd, which is a nonprofit that contracts with education agencies nationwide. And again, it basically said that our special ed system is meeting requirements. However, it is falling short when it comes to maintaining trust in its processes, delivering consistent services, and addressing staffing shortages. So we wanted to ask one of our education experts on the show their thoughts on this. Joining us back on the show, Fran Rabinowitz, Executive Director at the Connecticut Association of Public Schools Superintendents. Fran, welcome back. It's been a while. I'm so glad to have you here.
I'm so happy to be here, Melissa. And yes, it has been a while. And nothing better than the topic of special ed.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely is on many people's minds. And I'm certainly happy that the commissioner commissioned the report. I co-chaired the special ed task force with attorney Andy Feinstein for more than 2 years. And I would say to you that there are many, many issues in special ed.
So, I mean, it's probably safe to say you were not surprised by this these findings.
No, I wasn't surprised. And I have to say we grappled with them on the special ed task force. I'm working right now with the Connecticut Finance Project. I know that sounds crazy. Like, why are you working with the Connecticut Finance Project? They do money matters, but the fact of the matter is they do wonderful data analyses. And I'm working with them to look at the entire picture of special ed. I'm not sure everyone realizes it, but in the last 15 years, the numbers in special ed have increased by 53%, which is a huge number. The report cites 91,000, but actually we're at 94,000 students who are identified as special ed. 162% increase in the number of autism kids and 71% in LD. So we are building up, and to be honest with you, I'm not sure that we are doing the very best job for all of those students who are identified as special ed.
So in this report, Fran, for people who haven't read it, let's just say, what would you say stood out the most to you? So again, more than 120 pages. And looking at how our systems are in place. Again, it says that we met requirements. So we're not breaking any laws, essentially. Nothing egregious,
no,
if you will.
No.
But it does talk about, for example, maintaining trust in the process. I mean, do you think that alone, to me, I feel like we should be in a better place with that? Because you hear a lot of educators certainly talk about the need to invest better in special ed. We need to put a focus on this. Like the staffing shortages, that doesn't surprise me at all. I think that we're just starting to address this. And we should have years ago, no question. But again, delivering consistent services and maintaining trust, like those to me seem like very basic or very foundational elements that we should have crushed by now. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. And I would say to you, you know, I was at the State Department of Education for many years. Mm-hmm. And I, as a superintendent, dealt with them many years ago and not so many years ago in terms of assistance and building trust with the State Department in serving the kids the best way I could in the school district. But I would tell you, it's a staffing shortage. It is also a shortage of the number of consultants at the State Department for the large number of students in school districts. I would say that I remember a time, and I think it was excellent practice, when the State Department of Education came on a regular basis did random checks of IEPs and all of that, just to make sure that we were doing the best that we could for kids. And to be honest with you, you would think that that might anger districts, but in fact, it didn't. We were happy to have them, happy to have that relationship where they would look at what we were doing on site, spend time with us, and say, well, maybe you could do this better, or this should have been done in this way. And I sincerely believe that that is lacking now. And I also believe a vision for where are we going? What do we really want for our students who are in special ed? Because certainly we have a major, major achievement gap there. Now, I know that people will say, well, of course, they have learning issues, but not every child that's in special ed is intellectually disabled.
Right. Well, I think, you know, back to your earlier point, Fran, when you look at the amount of kids who qualify for special education, I mean, it's not like we've seen, for example, more children diagnosed with autism, that you see that huge leap, for example. I mean, I think we've now created under special ed, please correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, for example, if you're somebody who is speech delayed, or if you are somebody who is dyslexic, or I mean, even if you're just somebody who you learn a different way than the traditional way of learning, you qualify for special education, correct? I mean, to your point, it's not necessarily that I have a disability, but just if kids are falling behind academically, they sort of now fall into that category.
Absolutely. And here's what I believe, Melissa. And I've been fighting for it since before I began to co-chair the task force. I believe you have to see special ed on a continuum of services, and there should be intervention. First of all, your tier one instruction, your classroom, you should have a reasonable amount of kids in that classroom. You should have an effective teacher that is able to meet the needs of kids and to differentiate, okay, for the needs of a not so traditional learner. Then you should have intervention all along the way, whether it's intervention for behavior or intervention for reading. I would tell you that there are very few districts that have reading teachers that actually can sit with students and correct the reading. There's a lot of reading coaches that work with teachers, but not that many reading teachers. And I believe that the system of intervention is not robust. And I absolutely believe also that the State Department needs to address that in their vision, that there needs to be systems of intervention for kids all along the way. I'll be honest with you, when I was a superintendent in Bridgeport, I watched young students being referred left and right to special ed. And I didn't blame the teachers because I did not have the resources to have the system of intervention in place. And there were 28 kids in the classroom. So that is the only way teachers thought they could get help for their kids. And I think there needs to be a reexamination of how we are providing these services to students. It's definitely a passion for me because, and I'll tell you why, I want every child to have whatever they need, but I also want them to succeed. And that the achievement gap there is not one we talk about, but it's huge. It's bigger than any of the other gaps.
We're chatting with one of our education experts on the show, Fran Rabinowitz. And Fran is currently the executive director at the Connecticut Association of Public School Superintendents. She has been an educator across the state of Connecticut for a very long time, sits on a lot of committees, even did a lot of time in Bridgeport specifically. We love having Fran on the show. So there was this new report that was done, and it looks at Connecticut's special education. Some of the key takeaways, and they're outlined in this Connecticut Insider report. The first is concerns with complaints, due process. It says special education advocates have repeatedly expressed issues with the state's complaint process, which addresses potential violations of federal or state special education laws. So response to families. What do you think about that, Fran? Do you feel like we do a good enough job responding to people?
No, I don't think we do
I love your candidness, Fran. This is why we love having you on. Our listeners love hearing from you, too. So, no, I mean, straight up, not even going to kind of divert or skate around it. Just no, we don't.
I'm not going to do that. I think that we, whether it be at the district or the state level, I think we can grow in that. I think some districts are better than others, but I think and the state, obviously, in the report, in reading it, the due process, the hearing officers need to be better trained in what the state laws are, and I think that needs to take place immediately. I think we need to give time and attention. We always need to give more time and attention to teach to our families and our parents. I mean, they're the first teachers of the kids, right? I mean, I think we need to understand that they have genuine, huge concerns for their students, especially for their children, especially when they're faced with perhaps my child isn't learning in the way that they need to be. And I think we need to listen more. But again, let me just be clear that the numbers have increased so much, and we have not met that need at the State Department.
Right. It kind of comes back, like we said, to staffing issues, which, again, I think we're seeing it in a lot of those, I call them kind of backbone of society positions in the world, nurses, cops, firefighters, teachers. So, I mean, we've had staffing issues, but we are exceedingly seeing, you know, more of those gaps. And if you don't have people in those places, and you've got a bigger amount of people who need the services, you're going to see, obviously, some issues, obviously. But to your point, this has been a problem, though, for a while, is how do we address complaints properly? I mean, because another point in this article, Fran, was inconsistencies and delays. It says in the evaluation, it found issues with oversight and accountability, including inconsistencies or delays in both the state and district's implementation of special education services. So blockages, delays in issuing guidance, and kind of a lack of understanding, like a pathway when there are time sensitive issues. And that's something I mean, the thing that makes you and me very passionate about this is that we saw it in real time. I have a brother who's on the autism spectrum. I watched my mom in the late 90s, early 2000s go through this exact issue where, you know, it was almost like a cookie cutter approach. This is how we're going to handle everybody in special ed. Well, that doesn't work for everybody, or, you
it
know,
it does not work.
Right. And like it needing to advocate work, and understand it. Exactly. Yes. So like this has been an issue for decades, really.
Well, it has been an issue for decades, but it is really climbing up on us right now. And, you know, your point about staff, let me tell you, I know personally that staff, they don't want to be special ed teachers because they said to me, hey, Fran, I signed up to teach kids, not to do paperwork. We've got to find a better way for the paperwork to get done and let them spend the time that they need to spend with the kids. And by the way, they're our best advocates with the parents. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yes.
They're the ones that are closest to the parents. Mm-hmm. But if you load them up with so many cases and so much paperwork, how do they have time to talk to the parents and to really build those relationships? So do I think we have work to do there? Absolutely. And I don't think it's any one person, the bureau chief or whatever. It's been going on, and we need to really pull it apart and reexamine it. We tried to do some of that in the task force, but there is even a great deal of work to do. And I think there's an urgency to get it done as soon as possible.
Well, and again, we can't obviously fill all the staffing positions overnight. But to your point, no. Fran, you know, this has been, first of all, you've got kind of a lot stacked against us. You've got more kids than ever who qualify for special ed in our state. We have, yeah. you know, more positions open than ever to fill those roles. But maybe we look at, you know, even to attract people to want to fill those positions, what exactly the roles are for special ed. And do we sort of retask, like you said, if paperwork is a huge issue or feeling like their caseloads are just out of control, you know, figuring out that obstacle so that you can attract more people and then retain more people and maybe start addressing some of these problems that have honestly been there for a very long time. Yeah.
Yeah. It has. And I would say to you that system of intervention is incredibly important. I think that getting an assistance, I know it's resources, but in the end, it will give you a return on investment. If you get someone in the schools to do some of the paperwork, you know, call the PPTs, schedule them, get them together. That's incredible amounts of paperwork. Believe me, you know, the parent can't make it this time. The other teacher can't get there. It takes time and effort, and that should not be on a special ed teacher to do.
Well, I appreciate you again having these candid conversations on WICC, Fran, and you've been an ongoing amazing education advocate in our state. And so we look forward to seeing, you know, what the future holds when it comes to special education and to continue, again, raising awareness about this so people can have their voices heard, get involved, and hopefully find more solutions to these ongoing issues. Fran, thank you so much again for what you do as well. Executive Director at the Connecticut Association of Public School Superintendents right here on WICC.